Hi, I'm Mandy Jordan. Welcome to Inside the Blanket Fort, a weekly update from SIU Press, the scholarly book publishing unit of SIU. Last week, in celebration of Women's History Month, we explored some of the books the press is spotlighting this March. This week, we're wrapping up our selection of Women's History Month titles. Caress Crosby rejected the culturally prescribed roles for women of her era and background in search of an independent, creative, and socially responsible life. Poet, memoirist, advocate of women's rights in the peace movement, Crosby published and promoted modern writers and artists such as Hart Crane, Dorothy Parker, Salvador Dali, and Romare Bearden. She also earned a place in the world of fashion by patenting one of the earliest versions of the brassiere. Behind her public success was a chaotic life, 3 marriages, 2 divorces, the suicide of her husband Harry Crosby, strained relationships with her children, and legal confrontations over efforts to establish a center for world peace. As the first biographer to consider both the literary and social contexts of Crosby's life, Linda Hamalian details Crosby's professional accomplishments and her personal struggles. The Cramoisi Queen, A Life of Caress Crosby, also measures the impact of small presses on modernist literature and draws connections between key writers and artists of the era. Utopian Genderscapes, Rhetorics of Women's Work in the Early Industrial Age by Michelle C. Smith focuses on 3 prominent yet understudied intentional communities, Brook Farm, Harmony Society, and the Oneida Community, who in response to industrialization experimented with radical social reform in the antebellum United States. Foremost among the avenues of reform was the place and substance of women's work. Smith seeks in the community's rhetorics of teleology, choice, and exceptionalism the lived consequences of the community's lofty goals for women members. This feminist history captures the utopian reconfiguration of women's bodies, spaces, objects, and discourses, and delivers a needed intervention into how rhetorical gendering interacts with other race and class identities. It argues that this utopian moment inaugurated many of the norms and practices of labor that continue to structure women's lives and opportunities today. The rise of the factory, the shift of labor from home spaces to workplaces, the invention of housework, the role of birth control in childcare, the question of wages, and the feminization of particular kinds of labor. Over a century before first-wave feminism, British women's Enlightenment rhetoric prefigured 19th-century feminist arguments for gender equality, women's civil rights, professional opportunities, and standardized education. In Wit, Virtue, and Emotion, British women's Enlightenment rhetoric, author Elizabeth Tasker Davis rereads accepted histories of 17th and 18th-century British rhetoric, claiming a greater variety and power of women's rhetoric. This recovery of British women's performative and written roles as speakers, spectators, authors, and readers in diverse venues counters the traditional masculine model of European Enlightenment rhetoric. Davis broadens women's Enlightenment rhetorics to include highly public venues such as theaters, clubs, salons, and debating societies, as well as the mediated sites of the periodical essay, the treatise on rhetorical theory, and women's written proposals, plans, defenses, and arguments for education. Through these sites, women's rhetorical postures diverged from patriarchal prescriptions rather to deliver proto-feminist persuasive performances of wit, virtue, and emotion. The critical bilingual anthology, Mestiza Rhetorics, an anthology of Mexicana activism in the Spanish language press, 1887 to 1922, edited by Jessica Enoch and Cristina Devereaux Ramirez, collects and contextualizes 34 primary writings of understudied revolutionary Mexicana writers and social activists who published with presses within the United States and Mexico during the late 19th and early 20th centuries, a time of cross-border revolutionary upheaval and change. These Mexicana newspaper women leveraged diverse and compelling rhetorical strategies and used the press to advance the early feminist movement in Mexico and the U.S. Southwest, to define their rights and roles in and confront the hypocrisies of their society's patriarchal systems, to engage in important debates about education, women's rights, and language instruction, and to protest injustices in society and construct possible solutions. Because these presses were in both Mexico and the United States, their writings offer opportunities to explore the concerns, struggles, and triumphs of Mexicanas in both the U.S. and Mexican cities and throughout the borderlands. In Her War Story, 20th Century Women Write About War, Sarah P. Sheldon explores this era of women's war writing because women's roles in war changed so dramatically in that century. The 20th century redefined the meaning of combat and expanded the territory of war to include women in larger numbers than ever before. When the technological advancements of modern war began to target civilians, the home front became the front line. Women took an active part in war, whether or not by choice, often by moving into occupations previously closed to them. Women covered wars for their newspapers, wrote war propaganda for their governments, published their wartime diaries, described fighting alongside men, and used wartime experience for their fiction and poetry. Women writers also chose the right to imagine war, just as men for centuries had written about war without actually experiencing it. The eloquent personal memoirs of Julia Dent Grant, Mrs. Ulysses S. Grant, were written in the early 20th century for her children and grandchildren and edited by John Y. Simon. First Lady Julia Dent Grant wrote her reminiscences with the vivacity and charm she exhibited throughout her life, telling her story in the easy flow of an afternoon conversation with a close friend. She writes fondly of Whitehaven, a plantation in St. Louis County, Missouri, where she had an idyllic girlhood and later met Ulysses. In addition to relating the joys she experienced, Grant tells about the difficult and sorrowful times. Her anecdotes give fascinating glimpses into the years of the American Civil War. One recounts the night President Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. Grant insisted she and her husband turned down an invitation to the theater. Her decision saved her husband's life. Like Lincoln, he too had been marked for assassination. You can find these and more incredible women's history titles on our website at siupress.com. Join us next week to hear about some of the books the press is celebrating for National Poetry Month. That's all we have time for today. This is Mandy Jordan from SIU Press, encouraging everyone to make your own blanket fort and tell a story.